First Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. That's verse 6. Verse 7 says, verse 5 says, there are differences of administrations to the same Lord. But the manifestation of the Spirit, verse 7, is given to every man to profit withal. To profit withal. To profit all. That is, the essence of these things is for the profiting of all. And with the emphasis on the body of Christ. Now we began to look at, we're going to open to a couple of scriptures tonight. We began to look at the ministry gifts as an operation. And then we did look at the office of the apostle, or the apostle, sorry, better still, as an operation. And we saw that the apostle is an operation of primary use. That is, from where things start. The message, the work, and definitely the planting of Christ amongst a people in a place. There must be a people specific concerning the office or the function of an apostle. And we also saw that it's not a function of having to plant churches. The fact that you have planted a church or you have planted churches does not necessarily confirm the operation of that gift. Rather, the primary nature of the planting, what is the role of that church in amongst that set of people or in that location, that will be the function of the gift of the apostle. I will show you something else now. And Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, because if we're going to be talking about ministry gifts, definitely we're going to be looking at the gospel. That is, the gospel is the essence. Before you have the gift of the Spirit called the ministry gift, there is the gospel. The essence is the gospel, the Mark 16:15 gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. 1 Corinthians 9:16, necessity is laid upon me to preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15 again, verse 1 to 3, it says to us that the gospel that you have been delivered unto you, how that Christ died according to the scriptures, verse 3, it says how he was buried according to the scriptures, and how he rose from the dead also. So the essence of the apostolic gift, of the gift of the apostle, that operation of the apostle is based on the gospel. It's not a private gift. It's not a personal usage of the things of God. There is a precursor. It's something that is a prerequisite for that gift. And based on that, we'll look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnestly the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should slip away from them. Verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? That is, there was a human witness to the gospel. People said they saw Jesus rise from the dead. The human witness of the gospel is the fact that the people present when he bodily was raised from the dead, he didn't just die, he was raised from the dead. And he raised from the dead, he saw 400 people, depending on what account we have. At the same time, we saw 120. Then it was bodily taken up to heaven. So that was a human account. So that was the first account that we look at, a human account. Peter preached it, and he said that Jesus was raised from the dead. Acts 2. But then look at verse 4. It says, and God also, that is, not just depending on the human witness of the resurrection of Jesus. Verse 4 now says, God also, that is, besides the human account, God further, that's the better version, God further bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His will. So, this is the verification of these things. The verification of these things. Now, we'll look at it because we're actually teaching concerning gifts of God. We'll look at it in the context of what we're teaching. Now, it says signs, wonders, diverse miracles, and it says gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, from what we have been learning, it will say signs and wonders definitely will be referring to the utterance gifts and the revelation gifts. The utterance gifts are for signs. Tongues are for a sign. Prophecy also. So the utterance gifts will stand as signs, wonders, revelation, things that are seen, things that are seen, things that appear will be a wonder. So that will be revelation gifts. Now it says diverse miracles, they will have the gift of faith, the workings of miracles, and the gifts of healing. So we can confidently look at it and say, when it says signs and wonders, it says, we look at how tongues is a sign. Signs that were given on the day of Pentecost, for instance, tongues plus interpretation became a sign, you know, for those who had not believed. Then when you see a wonder, that is the revelation of the secret of men's heart, you know, and it will know of the truth that God is with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 24 and 25. When the secrets of men's heart are made manifest, it becomes a wonder. What can be seen is a wonder. Now, it now says, and diverse miracles. That definitely will look at the display of power. And that's where we have the gift of faith, the gifts of healings, and then the workings of miracles. Now, it goes further to say, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, that will confuse any just literal reader of the Bible, because you wonder, well, the things we've mentioned now are a function of gifts of the Holy Spirit, because you say, after all, utterance gifts and healings and all that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse, you know, 8 down to verse 10, where we have them as, and they were classified as gifts. Verse 11, all these worketh the one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So he classifies them according to 1 Corinthians 12, 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Are you following this night? Good. So, but if we look at it readily, the word there, it says, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are different words used for gifts in the New Testament Greek. We have doses, we have dorima, we have doma, we have charis, we have charismata, and we have charisma. But we have a particular word that was used here. We have doria, you know, depending on the tense that was used. In this instance, is the word merismos. Merismos rather looks at the distributions. What is apportioned. I know some of you who has distribution in his own version. Distributions of the Holy Spirit. Now, when it says, and distributions. Distributions tend to look at the distribution of one thing. The parallel, or sorry, the synonym of this word is found in chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. You find the word dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And we have seen that soul and spirit cannot be separated. They can only be what? Distinguished. So that means in Hebrews 2 and 4, we're talking about the distributions, that is, of one singular thing that is now distributed. Okay? Now, if we look at that in the context of what we have read in 1 Corinthians 12, what do you believe? What do you perceive, or you think you can understand that these distributions can mean? You can raise your hand and tell me. What can these distributions mean? 1 Corinthians 12. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversity of operations. It is the same God that worketh all in all. Worketh all the gifts in the ministries. And it says, and the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And it mentions nine things. And it says, all this worketh the one and self same Spirit, verse 11, dividing to every man severally as he will. So, what will be the distributions in Hebrews 2 and 4? Huh? Can you have operations without ministry gifts? It has to be. Operations don't stand alone. I think we've said that. It's the ministry gifts. So, ministry gifts are a confirmation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They confirm. Of course, when I say ministry gifts, definitely when it says the distributions of the Holy Spirit, you discover that those distributions refer to what the gifts of the Spirit working in individual members of the body of Christ. So, he said here that the ministry gifts are to herald the gospel. Notice the word distributions. The word distributions will show you that we cannot severe it, but we can distinguish it. That means that not one person will have everything. Are you following this at all? Okay? So if we have distributions then, that is where Ephesians 4:11 readily will come to you. It says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some pastors and teachers. Because verse 7 of Ephesians 4 has told you that we all have received a measure, okay, of the gift of Christ. So therefore, Hebrews 2:4 refers to a measure of one thing. That measure cannot be the gifts of the Spirit. I'm talking about the nine. It definitely will be the ministry gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, God has set some in the church, firstly apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers. So we have the word some will be what measure, that is distributions. So that tends to agree with Hebrews 2:4, that God confirms the message with the distributions of the Spirit, referring to ministry gifts. Let me see if you got that. Is that clear? Beautiful. So, having said that, we looked at a distribution. A distribution is the apostle. It's a distribution of the Lord Jesus in the world today. A distribution of the things of the Spirit. That is, there's a distribution, a measure. That measure is not in quality, neither is it in quantity, rather it's in expression. For the same God worketh all in all. So it is an expression measure, not a quality measure or a quantity measure. That is, an apostle is not an apostle because he has more gifts of the Spirit than the prophet. A prophet is not a prophet because he has more gifts of the Spirit than the teacher. He is a prophet based on the operation of that gift in a particular expression in his own ministry. Let me see if you got that. Is it clear? Beautiful. So, we have looked at the apostle. And now, today we'll still come back to the apostle because of the nature of things at this moment. We'll look at the prophet. 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has set some in the church, firstly, that's the word, apostles, secondarily, after that. That is, after that, prophets. Now, when it says secondarily, it again brings in order. There's an order. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. Now we are in a very difficult age and time where, because of lack of diligence with the scriptures, and even lack of having scriptures at all, people don't bother to find out what these things really mean or do really mean. Just on the face of it, okay, don't forget we're talking about the prophet. If you're just a normal student of the Bible, you will observe that under the Old Testament, that dispensation, the prophet was prominent. There was only one ministry that was before the prophet, and that was that of Moses. Where Moses was called the servant over God's house. That's all. And because Moses was a representation of a dispensation. But under the dispensation, the highest ministry, in fact, the conglomerate of all the things God does and will say was through the office of a prophet under that dispensation. A careless student of the Bible will simply just transpose a prophet from the Old Testament, and then he will transpose that prophet into the New Testament. And he will think that they mean the same thing. And that's a lot of error. Come with me to Numbers. Let me show you what the prophet meant in the Old Testament. They mean two different things. You know the background of this story? How that Moses asked the Lord to, have other people walk with him to carry out the duty. And God said to him, gather 70 elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people. Verse 16, I will come down, verse 17, and I will take of the spirit which is upon you and put it upon them, and it shall be upon the people. So, the prophet will be the one on whom the Holy Spirit will rest on. Now that happened, and when that happened, the Bible says in verse 25, the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. It came to pass, are you in 25? Are you in 25? Numbers 11. Let's finish it together. When the spirit, you are definitely not there. Are you there now? When the spirit rested upon them, let's take it together. When the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Take it again. Again? Okay? The word did not cease means they did it again and again. That is, it now became, and now watch verse 26. Now there were two of them who were not in the camp, Eldad and Medad, and the Spirit rested upon them, and they also prophesied. And Joshua ran and said, well, Eldad and Medad prophesied in the camp. And then Moses said, my Lord Moses, he said, Moses forbid them. And Moses said, envious then thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were who? Huh? And that the Lord will put his spirit upon them. So, the prophet was the one on whom the Holy Spirit will come on, and definitely to reveal things through. Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3, I'm not supposed to be going to all this doctrinal, but I'll do that, just for the sake of those who probably are not aware of these very basic things. Amos 3, verse 6, shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people be not afraid? Shall there be evil in the city? And the Lord has not done this. Okay? And the Lord shall do nothing except what? Except what? He reveals his secrets unto his servant who? The prophet. The lion hath roared who will not fear. The Lord God spoken who can but prophesy. So the Spirit of God will come on people and they will speak forth by revelation. The Hebrew word for prophet in the Old Testament is the word roheah. R-O-E-H if you can care to write. And it means seer. One who sees things. So, it's by visions and revelation. However, we have a duty to teach from the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3 and 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for teaching and for proof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be thoroughly punished, perfect, prepared unto every good work. Or unto every good work. So we have a duty to stick with the word 1 Corinthians 2 and 16 says, we have the revelation of Christ, the understanding of Christ. So, in all Israel, the Spirit of God didn't come on everybody. It came on people, and they did prophesy. And when it came on certain people, and they were called prophets in the land. Alright? However, if you look at the prophecy of Joel, said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon what? All flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. It goes further to say, your young men shall see visions. So that already nullifies the Old Testament explanation of a prophet today. Let me see how you got that. That takes it out. So a prophet is not one who prophesies and sees visions. Are you getting this? Should I explain it again? Okay. You want to read? Acts 2. Let's read it. It's good enough that I went over it, or else the way I wanted to do it before, you'll just be looking. I don't realize I should go over it. Acts 2. That's why it is good, you know, not to assume. Always get your hands on these CDs and tapes. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, what happened? The Bible says those people were filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 4, and they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, utterance came to 120 people, the church of Jesus Christ. By verse 14, Peter lifted up his voice amongst them, and he says, O ye men of Judea, these men are not drunken as you suppose, verse 15, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Are you following this? Shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Upon my servants and upon my handmaidens, that's what they are going to become, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall what? Prophesy. Now look at verse 22. So, verse 33. Jesus being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has set forth this which you now see and hear. Now this takes away what people, all the people that believe that those two, the only people that spoke in tongues in Acts 2 were the apostles. Now, Peter's reference was sons and daughters, okay? Male and female. And then, of course, there was no female at that point among the apostles. That's just by the way. Now, if you observe, the Holy Spirit came on everyone who is born again. And they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. In Acts 19:6, all the 12 folks that Paul ministered the gospel to, in Acts 10, the house of Cornelius, and you can go on in Samaria, the Holy Spirit fell on them. So that takes away that Old Testament definition of the prophet. Now it's good to now look back and ask ourselves, who was the prophet under the Old Testament? The prophet under the Old Testament was one who saw things, who had revelation. So that takes away that Old Testament explanation of a prophet. Today, for instance, if somebody comes up and sees a vision and says something, you say, that's a prophet. That is ignorance. A lot of ignorance. Don't forget again, our teaching is to say, from understanding we have in scripture, that there is no division when it comes to gifts of the Spirit. Everybody who is born again has all the gifts of the Spirit present within, lying within. That's not an issue in our teaching. Now look at this. Let's see what Jesus said about prophets. Matthew 11. Matthew 11, concerning John. Jesus said in verse 9, what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. More than a prophet. He uses a Greek word, prosterion. It simply means somebody who is beyond that. He said, more than a prophet. He says, for this he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before me. Alright? That is talking about When it says more than a prophet, it was not referring to himself. It was referring to John. That John was more than a prophet. He is a prophet, but someone who is more than the prophet that you are aware of. Verse 11. For I verily say unto you, among them that are born of women, there are not any risen greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now look at that very well. So that means that all the men on the Old Testament were mortal men who the Holy Spirit came on. In the kingdom of heaven, we are born again men. So John was the greatest of that dispensation. So he was more than a prophet. That is, he functioned more than all of them. On what basis? From days of long departure until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violence taken by force. So John is the one that opened the key of the kingdom to everybody. How did he do it? He pointed out the kingdom to us. He said, this is the Lamb of God, John 1:29, that takes away the sin of the whole world. Matthew 3:11, I baptize verily with water. He that cometh after me shall baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So John opened the word. That's the Greek word there, bosomai. It means an advancement. That is, there's an advancement from John. Are you following this? There's an advancement, more than a prophet, from John. So verse 13, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. That is, in their case, they spoke of things to come. Until John did not speak of things to come. John pointed out the one that is to come. Let me see if you got that clearly. They prophesied until John. So that was about John. Jesus was quoting Malachi 3:1 in case you want to know that. In Acts 19, see how Paul pointed out John. Verse 2. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? And he said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Also, what were you baptized unto? John's baptism. Verse 4. Please be there. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that shall come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Now, so the essence of John was to speak concerning Christ. Why was the Spirit of God coming on the people? What was the essence of the Spirit of God coming on them? That is what defines a prophet under the Old Testament. Very simple. Luke 24. It's not the fact that he sees visions. It's not the fact that he can give you your first name, your last name, your middle name, your nickname. What was it about the prophets? Luke 24, verse 44. He said unto them, verse 25. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures what? The things concerning himself. That's it. That was what the revelation was about. That was what they were seeing. The will and purpose of God called Jesus Christ. Same thing in verse 44 and 45. Acts 10, 43. Acts 10:43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes on him should receive remission of sins. So the prophets were the ones that witnessed concerning Jesus before he came. That was the witness. Acts 13. I mean, just references for you to, you know, check that yourself. Go on and on. Verse 27. Down to 35, 36. Moses also was a prophet. David was a prophet. He was quoted by Paul, quoted by Peter. Romans chapter 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Can we take two together? Which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Can you see everything is tied to who? Christ Jesus. 16:26. Romans 16. Verse 25. I'm going to read 25, we'll take 26 together. Ready? Romans 16. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept since the world, secret since the world began. Can we take 26 together? Made manifest by the Spirit. According to the... by the scriptures of the prophets. So, when we say all scripture is inspired by God, what are we referring to? The fact that the Holy Spirit came on men to speak concerning Jesus Christ. Are you there? Look at it. First, Peter. Apostle Peter. Simon Peter. Peter. First Peter chapter 1. Verse 12. I'll start from 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and sat diligently. Who prophesied of what? Of the grace that should come unto you, searching of what manner of time the Spirit of Christ that was in them did signify when he testified beforehand what? And the glory that should follow. He says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto all they did minister the things which are not reported unto you, but them which have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, with things the angels are to look into. So you can see that the Holy Spirit came on them for a specific purpose. To reveal Christ as a promise of God to humanity. 2 Peter 1. Are you there? Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture, is of any private interpretation. The word there is origin. Can we take 21 together? What the will of man? I love that word old times. A very English translation. It's supposed to be, prophecy came not at any time. By the will of man, but the holy men of God spoke as moved by the Holy Ghost. They were moved by the Holy Ghost and to the intent where they spoke. Now, you can see that the prophet is defined now. Can you see it? Are you following me? The prophet is defined by the, as the one who had revelations and visions and utterance concerning the coming Christ. That's the prophet in the Old Testament. Now, without having to struggle, you should note by now that that means the word prophet in the Old Testament is to foreshadow ministry gifts today. All ministry gifts. The prophet under the Old Testament is a servant of Christ functioning in the gifts of the Spirit today. That's why the Acts 2 confirmation of the Joel's prophecy is that I will pour out my Spirit upon who? All flesh. And it was, there was no distinction. Definitely, that is the demonstration of the gifts of the Spirit in the church. Okay? Right. So, seeing visions and prophesying is not the definition of a prophet. Without much ado, Ananias in the Bible saw a vision. He was not a prophet. If I saw a very clear vision, he was not a prophet. Paul the apostle saw Jesus. He was not a prophet when he saw Jesus. Clear revelation of Jesus Christ, and he was not a prophet. Even John, the one that wrote the book of Revelation, was not at any point referred to as a prophet. And he had an exhaustive revelation of Jesus Christ. Even the man Peter had an exhaustive revelation of Jesus, of the gospel, and he was not a prophet. So it's not seeing visions and speaking utterance that is equal to being a prophet. Everybody in Acts 2 prophesied. So we must have an interpretation that is based on the epistles, the teaching of the epistles on the office of the prophet. Let me see if you got that clearly. Is it clear to everybody now? Beautiful. So do not quote Elijah or talk about Elisha or start telling us about Isaiah when you want to refer to a prophet, because they are a foreshadowing of the ministry gift that is of you and I when we mature in the gifts of the Spirit. Is that very clear to all of us? Beautiful. So the essence, and don't forget that, of that office of a prophet is to foreshadow. Ephesians 4, let me lose that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Can we take 13 together? He will come into the unity of the faith. Into what? What is the unity of the faith? The knowledge of the Son of God. A perfect man. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is the unity of faith. Can you see that the message of the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher, they are the same. So they foreshadow, they were foreshadowed by the prophets of the Old Testament. That's why the Bible says the things that they revealed to us that were breathed out by God through them, they are profitable for teaching. Hebrews 1:1, God was sundry times and in diverse manners, he says, he spoke in time past unto our fathers by the prophets. So all that God said in the Old Testament was through prophets. In the last days, he has spoken in his Son, so he silenced that. That ended. And now, a prophet under the Old, in the New Testament, from the New Testament, will not be seen in semblance with the Old. I hope that's very clear. Beautiful. Alright. So, today, he's speaking through who? He has spoken in his Son. And God confirmed it by them that heard him. Okay? And further confirmed it with signs, with wonders, diverse miracles, and the office of a So the office of the prophet today is to confirm Jesus Christ to us. The fulfilled promise is not to reveal Jesus Christ to us as a promise. The prophet today will be to confirm as a minister of the gospel, Jesus Christ to us. Do we still have prophets today? Definitely. 1 Corinthians 12:28, he said some in the church, firstly apostles, secondarily prophets. Ephesians 4:11, he gave gifts unto men, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So we have a prophet. 1 Corinthians 14, even in the local church, we're looking at doctrine. Local church, he says, let the prophets, verse 29, speak two or three, and let the other judge. We're still coming there. So he says, if the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets, verse 32, so he says the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophet. That word there is the things of the spirit of the prophet are subject to the prophet. So he says if anybody sees himself as a prophet, verse 37, let him acknowledge this. So there are prophets in the church of Jesus Christ. In Acts 13:1, it says in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers by the name of Barnabas. He mentioned Lucius of Cyrene. He mentioned Paul himself, and all that. So, we have prophets in the church. So, let's now look at the evolving of prophets in the church. Don't forget, before we're going to read these accounts, the Spirit of God has come upon some people in the church. Huh? Everybody in the church. People in the church were prophesying. People in the church were having visions. People in the church were speaking forth things, you know, by the Spirit of God. So in Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 11, the very first time the word prophet is mentioned. Is mentioned referring to a certain brother. Oh, did I call him brother? Well, he was still a brother. Verse 27, in these days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus. So there was an Agabus who was known as a prophet. By the time you get to Acts 21, you see him again. So let's look at the evolving of the office of a prophet, of the function of a prophet. Take your mind back to Acts 2. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and verse 42. And they continue to talk about the whole church steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. Of course, we've seen here, we're too knowledgeable to think that there was a particular set of series of teaching called the apostles' teaching. It's just the fact that the apostles were the ones teaching. You go on further in Acts 4, when they were even praying, after all that Peter said, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the whole place was shaking together, but their prayer content, that's very important. What were they praying? He says, Lord, grant unto their servants, 49, boldness, okay, that they may speak thy word. Stretch it forth of thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. So they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they speak the word of God with boldness. And people got born again and all that. Who are the way they that spoke the word of God with boldness? You'll be shocked. It's not the whole church. Verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Again, the apostles. Acts 5:12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders run among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. You know the point? There's no point even blaming the ignorance of the church at this point, because the apostolic function is primary in nature. Okay? Alright. But it is not the only ministry gifts. By Acts of the Apostles chapter 6 again, and when there was an issue about some people wanting, you know, special attention and all that, they said, alright, we'll give you 12 folks who give themselves over to all these secular things. We, the 12, will give ourselves, verse 4, to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The very first person who stepped out was Stephen. And you will discover that Stephen, obviously, there was something about it that we'll look at the World Changers Conference. There was something about Stephen that I want us to take note of. It appeared that Stephen went solo. He went solo. So for the very first time in the church, somebody was martyred. So there was scare around. That's for the Ministers Conference. Let's just leave that at this point. Okay? But Stephen had signs and wonders. He had miracles among the people. So we read his first sermon. He preached. Stephen, therefore, happened to now be like an inspiration. Because when they took his body and buried him, in chapter 8, based on the martyrdom of Stephen, folks in the church. Now, at this material point in time, there was only one prominent ministry gift. Which was that? Huh? Good. So in Acts 8, the apostles remained in Jerusalem, and the church scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Verse 4. They scattered abroad, went everywhere, preaching the word. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ. By Acts 9, Peter was preaching. Acts 10, following protocol, it'll have been a bit strange. You know, we look at this at World Changers Conference, there's order in the things of God. Even in the ignorance, God beckoned on Peter to preach to the Gentiles. It's to follow protocol. Imagine if it was one brother, Tunde, that did it. It would not stand, that testimony would not stand. We'll look at that. I'm already in the mood for World Changers Conference. I discovered that I have some things here that I should just not talk about. Praise God. Acts 10, when Peter went to the house of Cornelius and he was beckoned, look at 11. Follow this. Verse 1. And the apostles and who? Acts 11. 1. And the apostles and who? Brethren. Church folks. Judea heard that Gentiles had received the word of God. Peter came up to Jerusalem and then he explained himself. So when they heard that, alright, they blessed the Lord, apostles and brethren, and they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution, verse 19, we'll look at it at what Jesus covers again. Sorry if you say this. There was, you know, an orderly, somehow things were not in precedence in the way it was recorded, but let's look at this. And they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose from Stephen traveled as far as where? Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jewish only. You observe again that there is precedence. There is order. They preached unto the Jews only, them which are men of Cyprus and all that. Look at 21. Let's take 21 together. One to go. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned. Now the hand of the Lord is who? The Holy Spirit. If you look at that, that was supposed to be a prophet. And they turned unto the Lord. And tidings of these things came to the ears of the church which were in Jerusalem. And he sent for Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. So Barnabas came, he called on Saul, and he taught the church and all that. Now, in 27. And in those days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch. Now, you will get a little bit confused. Were they sent from Antioch? Sorry, from Jerusalem to Antioch. If you observe very well, when they prophesied, they now sent the disciples to go back to Jerusalem with relief. Observe that. Now look up. Look up. If you look at this account, you believe that Church of Antioch was growing, then somebody got up. I mean, from Jerusalem, they now sent prophets from Jerusalem. If you observe, they were not sent. Barnabas was sent. There will be specific clarity on who was sent. Who were these prophets? They were the same brethren that came from Jerusalem. Are you following me? To Antioch. But by this point, the ministry gift had developed. Let me see how you are getting this. Should I go by it? Eh? I don't have to now. It's very simple. The same brethren were preaching the word in verse 19. By 27, they had now been known as who? Prophets. And one of them was called Agabus. If you observe later in Acts 21, Agabus was not in Jerusalem. When Paul returned in Acts 21 to that same region, Agabus in 10 came from Judea. He said there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. You will always believe that it was coming from Jerusalem. It was coming from Jerusalem. Mm-mm. It's to tell you that it's part of the brethren that came, that were scattered abroad in Acts 8. And by this point, he had developed into a ministry. Later on, we'll see that Philip, one of them, was now called what? The evangelist. So, as these people kept on in the preaching and teaching of God's word, the ministry gift of the prophet, and that of the evangelist evolved. You don't start with ministry gifts. Are you following me? It evolves. I think we've handled that severally. The ministry had developed. Notice that these folks were known for preaching. They were known for preaching. They were preaching. The hand of the Lord was upon them. Many people were getting saved. If somebody says he's a prophet, ask him, how many folks have been born again? If he doesn't have that kind of thing, he is not. Just like under the Old Testament, you are only a prophet to the degree where you reveal Christ. Now, you are only a prophet to the degree where souls are being saved. And the word of God is being preached and taught. Now, by Acts 13, are you following me? There were in the church, verse 1, of certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon. Now, do you know that in Acts 11, we were not told the names of the other ones? Are you following me? Okay. We're not told the names of the other ones. We're only told of Agabus. But apparently, part of those were prophets were present in this particular meeting. And it says they gathered as prophets and teachers in the church. Now, in Acts 15, after they went to report Paul in Jerusalem, that came from down from Judea. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Then therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small sensation and discussion with them, determined that Paul and Barnabas said no other of them should go up to Jerusalem. Unto who? Unto who? About this question. You observe that the constitution has changed now. You know, apostle and brethren. Apostle and who? Elders. Over the years, things had now changed. The apostles and elders. Now look up. As at Acts 11, please look here. As at Acts 11, please look here now. What would you call Agabus? Is it a prophet from the church in Antioch or a prophet from the church in Jerusalem? Huh? Why? Church in Antioch? No. It came from Jerusalem. If you observe, it's part of those who preach only to the Jews. That is the character of the church from Jerusalem. By Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas went to the church in Antioch and were, Jerusalem, and had apostles and elders. I'm sorry, this is not a teaching for this. Let's just go by it. I mean, leave it. So, at this point, and then the apostles and elders now agreed and said, all right, we agree. Verse 22. Then pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Barnabas and Paul, Judas, named Barsabbas, and Silas, chief among the brethren. So, they sent them with letters to go to Antioch and all the land of the Gentiles. And verse 27, we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall tell you the same things by mouth. That is, by mouth. That means they shall explain to you. So these people actually could preach the word of God. Are you following me? They can preach the word of God. That is, we have written a letter, they will now explain to you. That is, this letter are epistles, they have the ability to also explain what we have written to you. Not that you just can say, brethren, we came from the apostles. One, you can be born again. Two, you can speak in tongues. Three, they were elders. And an elder is able to teach that which was committed to his hands. So they were able to teach. Now, they explain this by word of mouth. And look at verse 30. Are you verse 30 now? And when they were dismissed, not dismissed, that means they were told to go. They came to Antioch, and when they had gathered them all together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And, 32, let's take 32 together, and Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves. Can you see that? So ministry gifts had evolved. Being prophets themselves, exhorted the brethren with what? And so they were not just messengers of a letter. They were able to teach from the letter. And they now confirm. The word confirm means to strengthen, to edify, to build up. And after that, they are tarried in a space for a long time. They let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. So, look at this. Did you observe this? The apostles set the work. It appeared like the prophet came in to further strengthen the brethren. Do you know we did not read that there was something about them giving visions and revelations here? No. They preached the word of God and men were strengthened. They were strengthened. They were equipped. Ephesians 4:11, it gave some prophet for what? The strengthening. Are you there? This, if you can't see a man doing that, he is not a prophet. He is not a prophet. He is not a prophet at all. Verse 35. Paul and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. One thing we're going to see is that as ministry gifts are being developed, more are being developed. The more exercise of these things in local churches, the more people will get involved in the work of the ministry. One thing about ministry gifts, if you observe in these scriptures, is the fact that ministry gifts were known for producing ministers. The more they were doing ministry, the more people were doing ministry. It was not a superstar, you know, there's not like me, larger than life, kind of doing ministry. As they were preaching, people were strengthened, and then more people were being released. As the word of God was taught in Acts, we're going to see that, like I said, in a better forum, you discover that Stephen just got inspired. The more a ministry gift does his work, more people will be released to the work. So the thing about ministry gifts is not to bamboozle you with gifts of the Spirit. It is to train you and birth ministry in believers. Are you following this? Alright. Now I'll just point something out to you, you know, in verse 36. After some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, so you can see that Silas waited behind, right? Are you following, please? I want to show you something. Silas did not go. Silas waited behind. Paul and Barnabas also, they were teaching in Antioch. Verse 36, some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city. That's what? That's what we call what? Follow up now. Abi? Follow up. Brethren in every city. Some people have told you they don't have any, there's no scripture for follow up. People are truly born again, leave them alone. They need follow up. Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. See, let's see how they do. I mean, let's just see and all that, the Ephesus and all that. No, I mean, this place where I've been, sorry. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, and Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the connection was so sharp between them, and they departed asunder one another. Barnabas took Mark and sailed on Cyprus. Now, I have taken time to think about this because for people like us that, you know, we look at Paul, he's human, definitely can't be God, and he's still not, he never will be. And it's like, what can we learn from this encounter? And in close look, I saw something in a while back that I'd never seen before. Like I said, I'm getting into a minister's conference mood. Maybe I should just we are all ministers. Amen. I mean, there is somebody here who is just a brother minister. Observe this. Let's look at Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas' decision to take John Mark was just a determination. I want John Mark. An unexplained action. Just a strong will. He determined. But look at Paul. Look at 38 about Paul. Let's read part 13 together. Paul thought not good to take them. That is, Paul's decision was not spontaneous. It was something he thought about. And he explained that thought. He says, look, this fellow departed from Pamphylia and went not with them to do the work. Let me tell you the truth. What he's saying here is this. Mark has not developed to the point of ministry. Mark is still running away. Mark is not stable. He has not gotten to the point of ministry. Don't let us take him with us. And Barnabas did not agree. And look at 40. Paul chose Silas. Something that I didn't see for years until recently. Verse 40. Paul chose Silas and left, being recommended by who? So the brethren recommended Silas too. Are you following this? John Mark, he'll be today. You will see him in church. Oh, 2 months. You will see him again. He has traveled. You know this kind of people now. Are you not in our churches? We're coming to VCC. You see, again, he'll be in WC 2005. Oh! I will bow to you. John Mark. Next year, he will pick his call. Paul said, we can't take this one to go and strengthen the brethren. This one needs strengthening. Barnabas says, my cousin. And what's the point? He has help now. Let's sentiment. Paul said, no. I've thought about it. This guy is not useful. And the church commended who? Silas. Are you following this? Okay. Later on, you know, people will know who is telling them the truth. 2 Timothy 4. He was now waiting in the wings. Verse 11. Only Luke is with me. This is Paul. Take Mark and bring him with you, for it's profitable to me for the ministry. Mark had changed. So who was he profitable for? Paul. So let some people go. They will come back. Praise God. It's profitable. So it was not a case of he's waiting in the wings. Has he called? Did he say I should come? He hasn't said anything, you know. He's fasting and praying. I got a call now from Brapaw. What did he say? He said, I can bring you. I think you're profitable. He said so. Oh, Father, we thank you for my prayers for maybe 5 years or 10 years. After many years. So, that's by the way, that's not concerning the gifts of God. I just said that. Amen. We'll see more of this later on. 1 Corinthians 14. We'll close. Praise God. At least you know what a prophet is not. Right? You are not a prophet. Amen. That is, you don't define a prophet because he prophesies, speaks in tongues, interprets, and then he sees visions. No. That's not it. That would mean everybody in the body of Christ is a prophet. It says some. 1 Corinthians 14. Hallelujah. Verse 29. Let the prophet speak 2 or 3. And let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. He's talking to prophets. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet. What there is that we need the control. That is, talking about the gifts of the spirit in the function of the prophet as subject to the prophet. Now, it appears, now we'll see that next week, that the operation of a prophet is inspirational in nature. That's why it's always mentioned as inspiration. prophet is the one who brings inspiration to the church by revelation. By the way, let me say this for the sake of those of you who are into spiritual herbalism, charismatic jingoism. When I saw somebody who calls you on the phone and gives me a prophetic word, that oftentimes they are thieves. The ministry of the prophet is to the church. They'll say, this is the prophet in my life, to whom you now begin to give offering. Hopeless Christian you are. Man that does not deserve more than heaven. Hallelujah. See the Bible. Can you resort to a man leading, making the work of redemption look almost null and void? For I will pour out of my spirit upon all men born again, see the things of the spirit, hear the things of the spirit, and say things of the spirit. Hallelujah. The function of the prophet, we'll see that next week. Amen. Stand your feet, give God praise. Jesus is Lord.